Morning. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning to Grace Life Bible Church. I'd like to welcome those of you that are on our live stream right now or might be watching after the fact. We appreciate you tuning in and being a part of the ministry here as well. If you guys would open up your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to be finishing chapter 3 here this morning as we continue to work our way through the book of Galatians. Last Sunday, we looked at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27. And this morning, I want to talk about verses 28 and 29 as we wrap up talking about chapter 3, okay? What I'd like to do to begin is I just want to read those four verses with you, review a few brief points from last Sunday, and then get into the new information in verse 28. So let's look at verse 26. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Lord, we ask at this time that we'll have open hearts and minds that are receptive and attentive to your word. We're grateful for those who have joined us via whether in person or via the live stream or watching after the fact. We pray that would also be edified and encouraged. We pray, Lord, as we look at the Word of God this morning and we reflect on the passage and what it means and what's going on around us.
Review a few brief points of
clarity from your Word and understanding. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So last Sunday, as I already said, we talked about verses 26 and 27. And I don't want to say a lot about those two verses because I want to move on. But we need to just look
as we continue to work our way through the book of Galatians. Last Sunday, we looked at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27. And this morning, I want to talk about verses 28 and 29 as we wrap up talking about chapter 3. Okay.
What I'd like to do to begin is that he switches back to talking about all of the believers in the churches of Galatia. And he says, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And we talked last Sunday about being a child of God and how we are made the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, how we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we talked about how the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the Holy Spirit has established a residency within the heart of every believer, and out of your heart he cries, Abba, Father. And we went over those things last week. And then we saw in verse 27, for as many of you, but it would be everybody in verse 26, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I talked to you about 12 different kinds of baptism in the Word of God, and how most of them have nothing to do with a water ceremony. They deal with identification. Our baptism today is the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the church, the body of Christ. We are made a member of the body of Christ the very moment, the very second we trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, was buried and rose again, and rely and trust the simplicity of the gospel. God the Holy Spirit takes you out of Adam and puts you into the body of Christ. And not only does he put you into the body of Christ, Christ is in you and you're in him. And so there's a great spiritual transaction that takes place when a lost sinner trusts the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only payment for his sin. And Paul ends verse 27 by talking about how we have put on Christ. And we went over last Sunday how that's the idea of being clothed in Christ, being robed in Christ, being suited in Christ. And everything that is his is ours by virtue of the fact that we are in him and he is in us. Okay? Then that brings us to what I want to talk about this morning in verse 28. Notice how verse 28 is a further elaboration of verse 27. Look at verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So you put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither. So those who have put on Christ, for those who are in Christ and those who have put on Christ, for those who are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Okay? There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in whom? Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, does that verse mean that if you're a female, that you stop being a female, and if you're a male, you stop being a male, as far as your earthly existence is concerned? That's not what it means. It means that in Jesus Christ, all of the things that divide men in the earth, all the distinctions, have they all been removed in Christ, in the body of Christ. That's what he's after here, okay? you know, I debate sometimes about how vocal I want to be about certain things, but I think as we come to this passage, we definitely have to acknowledge that the world around us is currently celebrating Pride Month. Okay? And as the world does that, by the way, according to the Bible, pride is not something that should be celebrated. Pride is a bad thing. The adversary, Satan is called, he is the king over all the children of pride. He was lifted up when he was Lucifer. It was his pride that lifted him up and caused him to want to sit in above the throne of God and say, I'm God, right? And so pride in the Word of God is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. It's not something that is to be celebrated, but the world in their thinking, they don't understand that, right? And so they do things like what we've seen around us, okay? There's a difference, folks, between equality and equity. There's a difference between equality and equity. I read 6 websites about this and watched 10 videos about it this week, and I'm not going to get into all the weeds of going over everything that they have to say, that the world has to say about those issues, but there's a difference in the thinking of the world between equality and equity, right? What we're talking about here in this verse, look at the verse, for there is neither, so for those who have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That means the things that divide men racial in the earth aren't important once you're in who? Once you're in Christ. Okay? There is neither bond nor free. Your socioeconomic status that you're born into doesn't matter in Christ. Your sex, whether you're male or female, doesn't matter in Christ because we are all one in who? In Christ Jesus. That's what the verse says. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So all of the things that divide men in the earth, race, socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, male, female, all this stuff, none of it, when you're in Christ, none of it what? None of it matters, because we're all one in who? In Christ Jesus. Equality is a word. Equality and equity are words we hear a lot about currently in the present situation. Equality is a word that we hear a lot about. Unfortunately, we have to acknowledge, I think, that in our nation's history, there have been some instances that did not live up to the founding ideals of the country when it comes to the issue of equality. Okay? Yes, I'm talking about the slavery of the African Americans, the internment of the Japanese during World War II. I think you could make strong arguments that the Native Americans were not exactly treated fairly, and there are instances where we have not been fair in the way people have been treated in an earthly human sense, okay? And those things are the way they are, but the reason those things are the way they are is because of sin. Because there is sin in the world. The single reason why there's social injustice and why social injustice takes place and why men discriminate against other men is because of sin. Sin affects one's entire outlook on life. Okay? And from a human sense, we can look and see all of the ways that men and women are not equal in the earth. Some people are taller than others. Some people are faster than others. Some people are smarter than others. You know, you can go on and on and on down the line, and you can see how there are things about all of us that are not necessarily the same. Some are smarter than others. They make more money than others. They're older or younger than others. They're taller. They're short. Some are, unfortunately, not able-bodied. Some are. And you go down through all of these things, and you can understand that there are just certain things that are the way they are in the world because of sin. Okay? And I'll say to you that they will continue to be that way as long as there is sin in the world. There's really only 2 ways that I can think of that all men are equal with each other. Okay? And I'll say them. Number one, all of humanity are born sinners and are therefore separated from the life of God as the default setting when they enter this planet. I think you would agree with that. And second, the only place where men are truly equal is in Christ. Because it is in Christ that all this stuff has been done away. Okay? And what we're going to look at this morning is that. Verse 28, there is neither. So for those who have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So those who have been baptized into Christ and have been clothed in Christ lose all of those physical distinctions spiritually in the body of Christ. So when God deals with the body of Christ, he does not deal with bond or free, male, female, as though one or the other or all of them are somehow less than, second class, or not as important as the others. We're all one in who? In Christ. The means of baptism by the Holy Spirit, by the means of baptism by the Holy Spirit, all of believers of all races, both sex, regardless of who they are, lose their physical identity and are placed into the body of Jesus Christ in a spiritual way. Okay? Now, I remain Brian. I still look like Brian. I still talk like Brian. I was still a male, okay, when I got saved. But spiritually, when I'm put into the body of Christ, I am no more important, no more significant than any of the rest of the members of the body of Christ are, because we are all one in whom? In Christ. Come over with me to Colossians chapter 3. The world wants equality and equity, but they preach against the only place where it exists. The only place where it exists is where? In Christ. Colossians chapter 3, look with me starting at verse 10. Start at verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of what? Disobedience. Now, one of the things in that list is something that you're supposed to be prideful about this month. And that is the issue there of inordinate what? Affection. But because of that, what does the scripture say? For which things sake the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. So if you're involved in any of those things, fornication, sex outside of marriage, okay? Now here's what happens though. What conservative Christians do is they go to a list like this and they say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as that guy because I'm not doing that. But the reality of the list is, if you're doing anything in the list, is the pronunciation the same? It doesn't matter what your flavor of flesh is or how you like to sin. If you die outside of Christ, you have God's wrath abiding upon you. Okay? Mortify, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You ever covet something that wasn't yours? If you've coveted something that wasn't yours, and you've done that, are you guilty in the list? Even though maybe you aren't involved in inordinate affection. Okay? So we need to stop doing that too. When you stop pretending like certain things are somehow worse than other things, when all of the things are all in the list. Okay? Now you might not choose, your flesh might not act out in the way that the next guy's does, but your flesh acting out is the same thing as their flesh what? Acting out. And notice, for which things sake. So all the things in verse 5, what are they? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Five things. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. It doesn't matter which one of those you're doing or not doing. If you are dying outside of Christ, is God's wrath upon you. Okay? In the which, now watch, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. So were there members of the church at Colossae who used to be involved in fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness? And as a result, in the next verse was the wrath of God upon them. And then Paul says, oh, by the way, in verse 7, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye what? So are there people in Colossae who used to do all the things in verse 5 who have gotten saved? And when they got saved, did they have a change of identity in Jesus Christ? You understand that? That's the real identity issue that you need to be worried about. Who are you identified with? Are you identified with Adam in Adam's sin, or are you identified with Christ in his life? So what does that tell us then? Did Paul in his ministry, Paul never went to Colossae, we know that from other verses. But was there anybody in the first century Roman world, regardless of what they were doing or what they were involved in, where Paul looked at them and said, you, by virtue of what you're doing, are beyond salvation? He did not do that. He took the gospel to anybody who would what? Listen. But now watch verse 8. But now, so there's a change now. Now they're saved. But now you also put off all these. So in addition to fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness in verse 5, put off also now verse 8, but you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. See, that's my biggest problem with folks on the religious right now. They get all high and mighty and they just judge everybody. Instead of seeing them as lost souls that need a savior, we judge them on the basis of what they're involved in and say we can't have anything to do with them. And what they really need is to have the gospel taken to them and for them to trust that Christ died on the cross for their sin. And put the Holy Spirit in them. And you know what? Let the Holy Spirit sort it out in their life. Not you, not me. Okay? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that there's not certain things that are just flat out wrong according to God's Word. I think I'm making that clear. What I'm saying is we need to be approach this with a scriptural mindset. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. So if you're a believer, have you already put off the old man and have you already put on the new man? All right? And to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, here's the verse. Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Now, does this ring any bells with Galatians 3:27? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and what? In all. So the new man that we have put on is not only renewed in knowledge, but in its place or location, note the use of the word where at the beginning of verse 11, where there is neither. So in the new man, there is none of this stuff. Where there is neither, the place where the new man has been put is into the body of Christ. Now, the only place where racial, national, social, and economic distinctions are erased, and that place is in the body of Christ. Look at the verse. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek. Okay? Greek there is a translation of the word Helena. Helena is where we get like words like Hellenistic. It's dealing with Greek. So you could study, you could go to the university and study the Hellenistic period. And if you study the Hellenistic period, what you're studying is the period where the Greeks, under Alexander the Great, conquered the ancient world and ruled the ancient world, right? That's the Hellenistic period. You could study the Roman period, but the word Greek, there's a translation.
Does this ring any bells with Galatians 3:27?
Sometimes to refer to Gentile.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew.
Under the influence of
circumcision nor uncircumcision.
The word of God uses it that way in Acts 11:20.
Barbarian.
And he uses it that way
in
Acts 11:20. And Acts 14, verse 1.
Christ is all and
Greeks by national descent. So Greek is
the new man that we have
Bible
put on.
Sometimes just to refer
is not only
to
renewed
Gentile,
in knowledge.
Sometimes it's used to refer specifically to somebody who's from
but in its place or location.
Greece. Okay.
Note the use of the word
other
where.
Other places the word is
11,
used
where there
to
is
include
neither.
All races,
so in the new man,
nations,
there is
etc. That are non-Jewish.
There is none of this stuff.
Where
there is neither.
They are Gentiles.
The place
okay.
Where
so
the new man has been
is
put is into the body
Jew,
of Christ.
Talking about that
now,
in Christ,
the only place where racial,
Jew,
national,
Gentile,
social,
division,
economic distinctions are erased
has been done
that
away.
That place
where?
Is in the body of Christ.
In Christ.
Look at the verse.
Okay.
Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek.
By the way, we'll see in a few minutes.
Okay.
We go to Ephesians chapter 2.
Greek there is a translation of the word Helena.
When God intentionally dealt with men on the basis of a distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. But now today in the dispensation of grace, that middle wall is done away and he's dealing with all men equally. Okay? Notice also it says here, verse 11, there is neither Greek nor Jew. Circumcision nor what? So, Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, those kind of go together. But then notice, barbarian is next. So, in other words, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about circumcision, uncircumcision. You know what that is. We've talked about it before. I want to go barbarian. You know what a barbarian is? A barbarian are those who were uncultured and the opposite of the Greeks. Come with me over to, what's the quickest way to do this? Come over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And to who? The barbarians. Both to the wise and to who? See, the Greeks had their great Hellenistic society and culture, right? That was steeped in philosophy and logic. We might say today they're the backwoods country bumpkins of they're the rednecks of the first century. Okay, that's what they were. All right? And then come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. They are also a people who lack the ability to communicate in the common language. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 11. Paul's talking about tongues, and he says in verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, so I can't understand what's being said, I shall be unto him that speaketh a what? A barbarian, okay? And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto who? Unto me, right? So a barbarian in the Word of God is talking about people who are the opposite of the cultured Greeks. They cannot communicate in the common language and all the right stuff to be made a member of the body of Christ. No, the only thing you have to do is trust that Christ died for your what? Sin. Look at the verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian. This might shock you, but a Scythian was an inhabitant of Scythia. Okay? Which if you take a map of the ancient world, that roughly correlates with the modern territory of what we identify as Russia on the map today. A Scythian. Apparently, the Scythians, from my research on this, the Scythians were sort of viewed as the wildest of the barbarians. Like, if you were a Scythian, it was like you were from Greenville. Okay? You were just, man, you had issues. Okay? And then notice the verse, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor what? Free. So, there are no slave and free man distinctions in the body of Christ. All the social and economic barriers have been done away, and the servant and master are both to serve who? Christ, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Now we need to understand, did Paul call for an overturning of the socioeconomic order of his day? He did not. What he's talking about is who you've been made in who? Christ. So you're in Colossians, go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, watch, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Every creature which is under heaven. Is there any category of humanity that would not fit into that statement? That statement would be all-encompassing of male, female, bond free, barbarian, Scythian, Jew, Gentile. It'd be encompassing of anybody regardless of, you know, what they want to do as far as their sexual orientation. Every creature under heaven, the gospel was preached to literally everybody by Paul. Paul had an every man ministry. Look at verse 28, same chapter. Whom we preach, warning. Paul preached the gospel to every creature that is under heaven, to every type of person that would listen he would preach the gospel to, and it is only in the body of Christ, though, where all these things that divide men in the earth are done away. Paul had an every man ministry. He did not care what side of the tracks you were from. He did not care the color of your skin. He did not care whether you were male or female. All this stuff, he didn't care about it. What he cared about was getting you saved. Getting you justified. Getting so that he could present every man perfect in whom? In Christ Jesus. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's another list. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. You know what that means, right? Those who act like, dress like, want to present like what they're not. Nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You know what that is. Neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 11. What does verse 11 say? And such were some of who? Are there people in Corinth that are now members of the body of Christ that used to be involved in every one of the behaviors, sins of the flesh that are identified in verses 9 and 10? But now they're what? Saved. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Everybody in Christ district or had the wrong pigmentation in their skin or anything else, stop him from sharing the gospel with that person to the end that they might be saved unto eternal life. And once they're saved unto eternal life, just like you, just like me, are they baptized into the church, the body of Christ, and made one with Christ? Are they all one? Are we all one with each other in the body of Christ? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. In time past, God, do you understand what a great thing it is that we're living in the dispensation of grace? Where God is not dealing with humanity the way he was in the past. In time past, did it matter a lot if you were the right kind of flesh? Circumcised or uncircumcised, Jew or Gentile. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. So is Paul talking clearly here about the fleshly state into which they were born? They were born into a state of possessing Gentile flesh instead of what kind of flesh? Jewish flesh. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh. So you have Gentiles in the flesh and the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time, ye, Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So if you happen to be born to the wrong type of flesh and time past, were you without hope and without God in the world? The only way you could have hope and the only way you could know God is if you came to God through the nation of Israel. His nation in the earth. Verse 13,
Ephesians chapter 2.
But now,
verse 11.
Don't you love that?
In time past, God.
But now, in Christ
Jesus, you understand what a great thing it is that we're living in the dispensation.
Gentiles have been made nigh.
God is not dealing with humanity the way He was
by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace.
Did it matter a lot if you were
the
right kind of flesh?
Who's the both talking about? The both He's talking about is Jew and Gentile, circumcision and uncircumcision. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So have you already, if you're saved, have you already been identified with the one new man? Have you already put on the new man positionally in Jesus Christ? And because you have, you're in Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, for to make in Himself, I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry. Yeah, for to make in Himself of twain, how many's twain? Two. One new man. See, there is a new man that God is forming today during the dispensation of grace. And the new man that He is forming is the church, the body of Christ, where He is reconciling Jew and Gentile equally in one body by the cross. This wasn't happening when? In time past. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh? Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him what? No more. Did Israel have a relationship with Christ after the flesh? Did He come unto His own and His own received Him not? He was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of who? Israel. Okay? Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. You have a new identity in Christ, if you're in Christ. The new creature, it is in the new creature where all physical distinctions, separations, divisions are done away. This, of course, means, as I said a minute ago, that men are not still men and women are not still women physically in a physical sense, but spiritually, none of that matters in Christ. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. So out of Colossians, we can add to that barbarian, Scythian, okay? And we could fill out a complete list. For you are all one in who? Christ Jesus. The things the world wants so bad are only available to them in Christ, the one who they are running away from. The world is running away from Christ and thinking that they're going to get all of this stuff met for them according to their own human viewpoint. And they're driving the car off the cliff as a result. When in actual fact, Christ is standing there saying, beckoning to them, everything that you want, everything that you need, everything that your soul is longing for, that you're desiring for love and acceptance and this and that, it's all available here in me, in myself, in my blood, in my grace, in my love for you. And if you would just accept me, then I would give you everything you're looking for in all these different categories. And the world doesn't want it. And I'm going to have to say, like, and that puts us then as believers in a weird situation. Because we look at a world that is engaged in behavior, engaged in thinking and activity, that is clearly not scriptural, that is against God's word and what God's standard is for human behavior, etc. And we look at it and we identify it. But let's not be consumed with our own issues about that to the point where we fail to see that these people need Christ and that's what they need. And that we need to bring the gospel to them. The same way Paul did with the Corinthians. The same way Paul did with the Colossians. Okay? Now I'm not saying, there's a fine line there, right? Because there are certain things that I do not approve of. That I think are sinful, that I never will approve of according to the standard of God's word. Then that puts you in a bad situation, right? Because how do you navigate that? How do you negotiate that? How do you deal with that when your employer is telling you all month that you need to do this and this and this and be involved in this and that and blah, 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 and they're putting it all in front of you. And if you don't accept what is said about those things, now you're an evil person. It's hard. Because you have an obligation, on the one hand, to stand by the truth of God's word, but in God's word it says that the man who provides not for his own is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So how do you draw the line? I don't know the answer maybe right now to all that stuff. But what I do know is that the bottom line at brass tacks, we are talking about people who need Christ. And we should be thinking, it seems to me, in a manner that prioritizes how can we get the truth of God's word to them. Whether they want to hear it or not, whether they want to listen to it or not, whether they want to understand it and embrace it or not, is not your decision. It's not your call. But as an ambassador, is it our job to get it to them? So I know there are folks in the assembly right now, we've talked about it, and they are struggling with this issue, and as am I, by the way. I have a secular job. There's things I see that I'm like, geez, what's that? I mean, I know what it is, but it's like, what do you do as a believer? I know the first thing to do is to prioritize what God prioritizes. And that's the salvation of all. And to be a facilitator of God's truth. And have the attitude about the lost world, regardless of how they're sinning, that he has about them. Do you understand that Christ died for everybody who has ever committed fornication? Do you understand that Christ has died for anybody who's committed adultery? Do you understand that Christ has died for everybody who's ever been a cross-dresser, a transvestite, or changed their sex, or done any of this stuff? Has he died for all of this? He's died for the murderer. He's died for the man stealer. He's died for the slave trader. He's died for everybody. And what happens, I fear, sometimes on the other side of it is we look at it, and now we have political pressure from the side that we agree with to act in certain ways so that we fit in there. Instead of just acting out of the truth of God's word, which is where we should be operating out of. And you need not misunderstand me. I'm not advocating for this stuff that is going on. It's it is not in accordance with the Word of God. I don't know how else to say it any more plainly than that. But the reality is that Christ died for that guy, that person, that woman, that person over there, the same way He died for us. Even though we maybe haven't sinned the way they're sinning. Doesn't matter. I've said this before, right? But like, I know people who will give a certain person a pass on fornication and adultery that they won't give to the person that's involved in some other sexual sin. Because for them, it's more palatable for them to do that than it is for the other person to do something else. Look at the verse. Verse 28. For there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in whom. Folks, I have to be honest with you. I don't know what the line is. I don't know. I don't know where. It seems to me that it comes down to, if you're asked to do something that knowingly violates God's word, there has to be a line there of some kind. There has to be a line there of some kind that says, no, that is contrary to God's word and what God says. I can't go there. I can't do that. Let the trouble find you. Don't you go make the trouble. You follow what I'm saying? The chances are the trouble might come and find you. I don't know. But if it does, we need to respond out of faith in God's word. And see, that's where things get dicey, because fear enters in. Fear of approval. Fear of loss of income. Fear of whatever, being canceled. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? Go back to Colossians chapter 3. The point I'm trying to make to you this morning is, if there's anything out there that has a hope of helping anybody, it's this grace message. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek the things that are where? Above. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things where. How much of the stuff that we entertain on a daily basis is really fleshly, earth-centered thinking and not high thinking? Not thinking that is setting our affection on things where? Above. So, we need to renew our minds, okay? We need to remember that Christ is the preeminent one in all things. We need to remember that the earth, that the world system that we're a part of is run by the prince, the power of this world, the spirit that now worketh on the children of disobedience, and he's running this thing off a cliff. Okay? Go back to, where are you at? Go back to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. You know, it used to be that what I'll be honest with you, like, I hardly even like doing wedding ceremonies anymore. Because you get to the part about submitting one to another in the sight of God, and you say anything at all to the prospective wife about submitting to her husband according to what God's word says, and there's like all the air goes out of the room, and the audience like, you're a patriarchal Nazi for saying that you need that the wife should submit to her husband. Okay? But that's what the Bible says. The husband submits to Christ. The husband's not off the hook. The husband is answerable to Christ. For crying out loud, if you're a husband and you're a mean, dictatorial jerk to your wife and family, Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, is going to have something to say about that. You answer to Him. You submit unto Him as unto Christ, as unto the Lord, if you're a husband. And if you're a wife, you submit to your husband as unto who? The Lord. What happens, though, is modern-day cultural thinking has taken all that stuff and they've blown it out the back door and made it into something that it... And by the way, some Christians are complicit in this, too, by the way they teach that topic. And they teach that topic in terrible ways that are not reflective of the love and grace of Christ, but are authoritarian. Okay? Man, I tell you, you guys didn't know that I was going to do this morning, so... But look at verse 28, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one where? You want oneness? You want unconditional love? You want unconditional acceptance? You want acceptance on the basis of just who and what you are? You're only going to find it where? In Christ. Verse 29. I said I was going to finish, so I will. And if ye be Christ's. Notice the apostrophe S. Possessive. If you put on Christ and you're one in Christ, are you Christ's? Do you belong to Him? Okay? And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? Because this has been the issue he's been driving at the whole time. Chapter 3, go back to verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God. So who's he talking about in verse 6? Abraham. And even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of who? Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and these shall all nations be what? So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. Go to verse 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is who? So, the seed through which the blessing is going to come is who? Christ. So if you're Christ's possessive S, then do you get whatever belongs to Christ? So you go to the end of the chapter now, verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. Why? Because Christ was the seed of Abraham through which the blessing would what? Come. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And you're heirs according to the promise because of verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen by faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be what? Blessed. We are Abraham's spiritual seed because the seed of verse 16 was Christ. In Christ, believers are one spirit, and one spirit put them into Christ, not by water baptism or any other sacrament. And if you're Christ's, you are entitled to the spiritual promises that God made to Abraham. And one of the spiritual promises that God made to Abraham is that Abraham would be an inheritor of eternal what? So the body of Christ is the spiritual seed of who? Abraham. I'm telling you, like, I, in a million years, could never dream up the set of concepts that I'm trying to get you to understand here this morning. I never in a million years could have dreamed up that God would deal with one guy at a particular time in a certain way, so that he could today deal with us in that same way, so that he could then reach out and scoop up all of humanity, regardless of who and what they are, and give them all eternal life in his son, and say, they're all one in my son. Like, I'm serious, like, have you ever thought about it? How do you explain that? I'm doing my best. somebody can do it better, I'd like to know where I'm missing the mark. But we are one in Christ, and we need to view ourselves as who and what we are. The world is running as fast as they can to the only solution to the problems that they want solved. But Christians, believers, we do the same thing. There's this temptation that if we just turn to the political structure, the political structure will bring about the outcome that we want. I'm going to say it as clear as I can. The only hope that dumb political structure has is the return of Jesus Christ to fix it himself. Okay? It's the only hope it has. You, me, we are not going to fix it. It is run by the course. It is run by the prince of power. It's run by the God of this world, the spirit that now works in the children of what? Disobedience. So instead of being obsessed with that, let's be obsessed with our identity of who we are and live out of that. The real issues of identity are the issues of identity in Christ. All of the things that the world thinks they're going to be, that they're going to get out of running after their different... You know what the real problem is in the world right now? It's identity theft. And I don't mean that in the secular way. I mean it in the spiritual arena. People are being lied to, and they're embracing inadequate substitutes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that is going to fill your need that you have in the deepest reservoir and resources of your soul for unconditional love and acceptance is the Lord Jesus Christ. No human being, no political system, no structure, no nothing is going to give that for you. Only Christ can do that, because all of those other things are going to let you down. Your husband or wife will fail you. They will do stuff that you don't appreciate. If your hope and identity is wrapped up in them, you're in trouble. But Christ will never leave you or forsake you. Christ has accepted you for who and what you are. Christ loves you for who and what you are. He died for you regardless of what he knows about you, and he made you perfect in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think about that. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for the time we could spend together in your word. We pray that this will be encouraging and edifying, and that it will have been received in the spirit in which it was intended. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm told, Blake, that you wanted to make a quick announcement. Is that right? You want to use the mic? Right.
Mark, I switched them to this.
Testing.
All right, so this is just for the teen parents. I think a few of them are in here. Tim Brocks and Rixie's out there. But this is regarding the poll on date-wise for the summer teen event. I made the mistake of trying to go through the Facebook group, which I didn't understand that the timeline can't be changed or the time limit. So this poll I designed, or I found a website that I could put on. We need to know the dates, because then I have to have 30 days advance for the event to be able to get the date that we need, and I need to know the amount of people. So we can go from there, and I can then basically get the amount, details, and anything like that.